if we can get it to be debt free, it's going to free up more cash flow for you to do things with. But you know, sometimes that's not always the case, and it's okay as long as the financial situation can really support it.
Welcome to the All Things Retirement Podcast with certified financial planner Anthony Alfo. Here's your host, Ben Jor.
Hello and welcome into All Things Retirement. Glad to have you on the podcast today. I'm Ben George, along with Anthony Alfo, certified financial planner. He's also the founder of the Cardinal Wealth Group. And today we're talking all about timing. And I know you probably get the question a lot, Anthony, just, hey, when do I need to have X prepared? Or when do I need to have the answer to this question? So we're going to go through some of that today.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of getting people in different stages of their life. Some are wondering, should I have done this earlier? Am I too early to start planning? So pretty common questions. I don't, certainly don't think it's ever too early or too late to really start planning. And, everyone's situation's unique, and certainly great to draw a line in the sand and start somewhere.
We'll go through some pretty important retirement preparation items for you today and talk through timing. So should be a good episode for you. If you have questions, cardinalwg.com is the website. You can also give Anthony a call at 609-362-5512. While you're on the website, make sure you hop on and check out some of the videos, downloadable materials. There's a lot of great stuff on the website for you. How's summer going for you, Anthony, so far? You guys been busy?
Yeah. So we didn't do any recordings the last month, just we had some planned vacations, and then so that was fun. We were down in Cape May and Long Beach Island, where my wife's family's at. Nice. So kids had a great time at the beach. We had good weather, so it's a good time. And looking at the end of the summer, it feels like, already. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It flies by, but yeah, trying to make the best use of the remaining 4 or 5 weeks or so, and then kind of hit the ground running again with post-Labor Day.
Yeah, no, it's turning the corner to August, and it's going to be the holidays before we know it.
So I know.
I'm glad everything's been going well. Hopefully your summer's been going well wherever you listen today. But let's jump into some of our timing conversation. And it doesn't matter kind of where you are planning for retirement. As you're getting closer, I know you're thinking more and more about certain items and just trying to figure out, hey, when do I need to have these things checked off? When should I start preparing for certain parts of retirement? So we want to try to help you figure out the right time today and answer some of these pressing questions that we typically get. So let's start off with debt, because debt always, for most people, Anthony, debt kind of just lingers. And you're slowly paying it off. Hopefully, you're paying it off consistently every month. But most people aren't going to have their debt taken care of well ahead of retirement. So when are you really trying to time down and hammer home on this debt and get rid of all your debt completely?
Yeah, I think, first kind of getting your arms around it, I hate to put an exact number on how far in advance, but I think this is one of those where from a planning standpoint, if you're looking 10 years out from, say, retirement or financial independence, it's kind of a good sense, because first off, for some, they might have debt going into retirement or sustained throughout retirement. So, if that's the case, we want to get an understanding of what that debt is in terms of a percentage of your overall expenses, in terms of your lifestyle spend. And if you're going to maintain it, what that chunk represents, or B, does it really make sense to focus in on this as we're getting closer to that retirement date with, extra payments? Or are we, going to sell the house and downsize and just take that equity from the home and get rid of that debt completely? And that new house is going to be whatever that essentially equity is in your current house. So that to me is kind of important to understand. And then if we're going to try to pay it down faster than the current payment schedule, where is it going to come from? Is it, we only have so many dollars to go around. Is it going to come from your current savings plan, where you're going to take a little bit from your what's going into your maybe long-term savings like your 401k? Or are we going to just take a chunk of money later on down the road? So just trying to understand some of these ways that we're going to kind of get there. And then what are some of the cause and effects if we're going to try to pull it from somewhere else of where you're maybe spending today? But on the flip side, it's pretty common for a lot of folks to have debt in retirement. I wouldn't say it's the end of the world with some, we'll say, good debt like your mortgage versus, say, credit card debt. So we have a lot of clients that maybe upgraded a home in the past 5 years. And if they have a 20-year mortgage, it might be unlikely that they are going to really make a dent in that amortization schedule and pay it off. So we just really want to understand that. So I think the earlier you can kind of get a sense of your debt situation, the better.
Yeah, it's good to know that some people do go into retirement with debt. I know that's probably a concern for some people, like, oh man, I just don't think I'll ever be able to pay off all my debt completely before retirement. So I don't know that I'll be able to step away. So kind of having a plan will help, I guess, ease some of those concerns.
It's definitely, some emotions there. People really hate it or are constantly kind of dealing with it. It's, something else that pops up once they get one debt paid off. In a perfect world, if we can get it to be debt-free, it's going to free up more cash flow for you to do things with. But, sometimes that's not always the case, and it's okay as long as the, financial situation can really support it.
All right. We're talking about some timing issues and knowing really when to have some of these items really hammered down and figured out. So what about savings? I'm kind of in this position now, Anthony, and you kind of understand having a couple of kids, you're not able to put away as much into savings as you want to, especially as they both get into daycare and whatnot. But that, because of that, so many people fall behind where they think they should be from a savings standpoint. So how do you kind of figure out how much you have in relation to where you should be and what it's going to take to realistically catch up?
Yeah, and you kind of just kind of touch on it. It's like where people, I think they are or feel. A lot of times we find that people have some number in their mind that they should be saving X amount, or they should have this amount of money today or at a certain point in the future. A lot of times when people come in, they say something along those lines, and we'll kind of ask, is that from some type of analysis that you've done? And most of the time, it's just a gut feeling that people have that they're either doing really well with saving or they're behind. And certainly the earlier that we can kind of quantify this or understand it from a financial planning standpoint, the earlier the better, because the earlier you kind of figure these things out, the less changes that you would need to make in order to fix it versus saying waiting to a year before you retire. So I think that the earlier that you can just kind of get something down on in financial planning software to understand, like, how much do you really need to be, financially independent or maintain a certain lifestyle into the future, certainly the better. And I think the other side of it, from a not just a preparation standpoint, but having somebody like an advisor to personally hold you accountable, I think always helps. And research has shown, telling somebody your intentions and being held accountable certainly leads to better outcomes. And when it comes to savings, each year, as you're kind of going through your review meetings with your advisor, just kind of holding your feet to the fire a little bit and saying, our intention is to save X this year. Can we get there? Can we do a little bit more without cutting into your lifestyle? Generally can get you to the best outcome and cross that finish line the way that you intended to.
Yeah, it can feel like you sometimes can't ever catch up, right? I mean, it feels like you're so far behind, especially if you talk to others or kind of judge your where you are based on where other people are too, which is never a great plan to get a sense of what you need and what you have.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many variables. I think, if anything, I would say, kind of stay away of worrying about what everyone else is doing and just think, bring it back to terms of what you and your family need. And that's why I really, getting it down on to some type of financial analysis software that you can better understand what you need. And you'd be surprised by the big changes or outcomes over time. Certainly the earlier you start, that just saving a little bit more each year as your income increases. And a lot of times so does your lifestyle. But if you can just kind of pay yourself first with some automated savings, just like your you know, your paycheck goes to your 401k first before it gets into your bank account. Setting some of these things up, and you can easily just consistently increase it by a little bit each year, really can go a long way.
We're talking about timing for retirement prep. Let's talk about income planning, because this is a really critical part of your retirement, to make sure you have income coming in, what sources you're going to have, and then really make that as efficient as possible, right? So structuring that income plan is so important. So when do you actually start thinking about this, Anthony? Because I guess most people probably don't think about this until they're right about at retirement and they need to change and kind of switch those gears and change their mindset. But how early out should you actually be thinking about income and how you're going to generate all that?
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. You know, I don't know that it's necessary that you need to get into the weeds and micromanage the exact times that you're going to exactly turn every income source on in retirement, like 10, 15 years out. I think broadly speaking, it wouldn't be a bad idea to get your arms around it, you know, doing some projections, like if you're somebody who has a pension and a Social Security and some type of nest egg, and you're 10 years out, it wouldn't be a bad idea to, you know, still get a Social Security statement to see what it's projected to be. Same thing with your pension. And maybe just use a baseline amount that it is at, say, what it's expected to be at your retirement date or age 65 or whenever you're kind of looking to maybe be financially independent. Not so much of looking at Social Security at, you know, versus say 62 or 70. I don't think you need to get that crazy with it. I mean, it certainly can, but I don't think you necessarily have to if we're 10 or 15 years out. Same thing with the pension. If you kind of just take a date, most pension companies will give you some type of number and you can run with that. And then kind of just making sure, like when you look at that along with your current nest egg plus any future expected savings, that's just start to really take shape and show you, okay, are we headed in the right direction? And this should then be able to at least help you, okay, should we be saving more, A? B, what type of account should we be saving in based off of this information? Should the money go into a pre-tax 401k? Should it go into a Roth 401k instead? How should our investments be set up to properly accumulate as we are leading towards that? So I think if you're somebody that's kind of in that 10 to 15 year, that's kind of more or less the approach. You can certainly, if you're maybe more analytical and really want to get into a little more, you always can. But most likely with tax laws and just things that can happen in a 10-year period, things are ultimately going to change. Whereas if you're somebody that is, let's say, a few years out, now it's probably time to really start looking at all the different pension options, whether it's the single life option or the joint and survivorship option, starting it right at retirement, delaying it. Same thing with Social Security, looking at those trade-offs between starting it maybe while you're working earlier or delaying it out further. What are some of those different ways to maximize your retirement income? And then, you know, you're able to start saying, if I'm delaying my Social Security, where are we going to pool money to kind of bridge that time in lieu of our Social Security payments? We'll be able to look at, yeah, it doesn't make sense to do, you know, Roth conversions and where we're going to, what type of accounts we're going to pull the money from. So, you know, as you're getting closer to a few years out, for sure, you're going to get a much more, you know, micro in the weeds of all these different income decisions that you would have.
So starting early just kind of gives you the ability to really focus on a few different aspects and maybe change the way you're saving to kind of gear up for when it is time to start pulling from that income and those savings.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely, you know, something that you want to get down on into the software to at least have a baseline. But just think kind of 10, 15 years, you might have your mind on still with some other shorter term goals, like, you know, kids' education, getting the debt paid off. So you certainly want to keep the long term in mind with what you're doing today to benefit yourself, like paying off debt or helping with kids' education, because you don't want to also squash those long term dreams. So it's about really, you know, how can we holistically look at some of our short-term goals that we want to address while also making sure that we're, you know, at least socking away and accumulating enough to put ourselves in the best position later.
All right, let's talk about risk next and really kind of getting a feel for, you know, how much risk is in your portfolio and does it align kind of with where you are in your life, your age? So I know most of us are fairly aggressive probably early on because we know we have plenty of runway and have time to make up any losses as the market goes up and down. But when do you really start taking a close look at the risk in your portfolio?
It's certainly not a bad idea for anybody to always kind of have that risk in mind so that they are not taking too much risk where they can't really weather through some of the bad storms that take place in the investment world from time to time. But if I'm looking at it a little bit less from emotional risk and just from how downward a portfolio can go before it recovers, meaning that if the market really has a bad turn of events, what's kind of the longest period of time that it typically takes for it to recover? Well, if we look in the last 50 years, just a rolling period of the last 50 years, the worst in the stock market has been 7 years for essentially a full recovery to get back to even.
Okay.
And that's without putting any new money in. That's just, you know, letting the investments go as they may. And that period was basically between 2014 and 2020, where somebody may have had a period of time where it took, you know, a full 6 years to recover. So let's just call it 7 years. So if I'm somebody that's 15 years out, putting again their emotional risk tolerance aside, and just from a math standpoint, I wouldn't be overly worried about it and just kind of keep saving into the market, you know, through your retirement 401k and things like that. I just keep building it up. And, you know, when it does go down, you're going to end up buying more shares that are cheaper. And when it's a little bit more expensive, you're buying a little bit less. So wouldn't be overly anxious about some of those downward movements in general. But when we're kind of getting in the window of like 7 years, that's really where I'd be looking at kind of thinking about de-risking it in some ways to make sure that maybe we're not rolling into retirement in a potential situation where the market has, you know, a really bad run of a year or two or three that could, you know, hurt your retirement nest egg. And that's in that window, if you're in that window, that's when I would start to be kind of, okay, we need some safe money, some money that's going to be shielded from some of these market downward movements, because, you know, we want to have that money ready to go as we get close to retirement. And at our practice here, what we typically talk to clients about is kind of like our safe money and our growth money bucket. And that safe mm-hmm. money is kind of within that 5 to 7 year window of when we're going to need it. We kind of want to have this safety bucket that's not going to be affected by the stock market, and it's kind of ready to go. It's already pre-positioned for our retirement income. And it, I think it really changed the mindsets of a lot of clients where, okay, that growth bucket that might be taking a little bit more of a hit with the stock market, we don't necessarily have to be too concerned about that because we actually aren't really planning to touch that for the next, you know, 7, 8, 9 plus years out. And that can, you know, fluctuate a little bit more since we have that safe money that's, you know, ready to go for our retirement income purposes.
All right, let's talk one more area where you need to prepare for retirement is taxes. And you know, we all kind of have the understanding that taxes are probably going to go up. If you ask most people, that's what their guess would be, although we don't technically know. You have to have a plan for it, though, right? So when do you start actually thinking about how your investments are structured so that you maybe can offset some of these rising taxes?
Yeah, taxes are a big one for sure. The earlier that you can start to understand where you're at today, as we'll call it that as a starting point, and kind of take it through a journey of, you know, future milestones. I call those milestones being, let's say when maybe one spouse is planning to retire, or both spouses are planning to retire, or we're going to start to turn on an income source like, say, Social Security, or delaying it, or require minimum distributions. These different, we'll call them inflection points or milestones, are times where the income brackets could be shifting a bit on you because you're, you know, maybe going up or down due to these different milestones. So looking at it where you're at today versus some of these different milestones or changes in your life, we can start to plot out on a chart, kind of map it out what your projected tax rates will be to kind of help guide you what you should be doing today. When I say today, meaning, you know, should we be saving into pre-tax type of accounts like IRAs or 401ks, or should it be in more like after-tax accounts like a Roth IRA? That way, we're kind of getting prepared for our future tax brackets when we get to retirement. It's always nice to have different, say, tax buckets available so that we can kind of be on both sides of the tax equation, and being able to look at where you're at today versus where you're probably going to be in the future definitely helps with that. The other side of where you kind of started this with was also just having some risk management on the tax side of just kind of talking about, well, what if tax rates, you know, increase in the future? And that's certainly on the minds of a lot of folks out there. So then we can start to kind of throw that variable in there and say, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, if you're somebody who has, you know, 90% of your money, it's all in pre-tax, there's certainly some risk there. So looking at it and say, if you're currently in, let's say, the 20% tax rate, you know, if it goes to 30 and all your money is in the pre-tax, then that could, you know, obviously cost you a lot more than it's intended to. So from that standpoint, looking at it from, you know, a what if scenario, we can run those as well. And you can kind of say, maybe we should take a little bit of what we're doing today and kind of squirrel it into the after tax side, just to kind of hedge our bet a little bit in case tax rates do increase in the future. And that's kind of the annual process that we take with our clients when we review their returns, look at where they're at today, where they're headed in the future, and just we're guiding them as to should we change the way that we're saving today, or if they're already retired, you know, we're obviously having those types of conversations with the current tax codes. Should we be doing Roth conversions, or should we be pulling money from different accounts this year versus accounts that we used previously, or turning on an income source that we were planning to delay this year for, you know, certain tax rates. And so doing that type of proactive tax analysis, I think it's beneficial to do every single year. And I don't think there's really too early of a time to have that.
Well, there's a number of different items that you want to go through and really get ahead of as you plan for retirement. These are just five core items that you want to have a grasp on. And hopefully this kind of helps you from a timing standpoint know when you should be having these conversations. If you haven't yet, a good place to start is Anthony's website, cardinalwg.com. Get your free assessment. You can start your Cardinal Success journey now, kind of find out where you are and where you need to go. But that's a great place to start. But hopefully this will help give you a little understanding on when these conversations are had and where your focus should be. Anthony, let's turn now to the mailbag. I got a couple questions I want to run by you today. We'll start off with Rachel. She says, our daughter and her boyfriend are thinking about buying a house together. Should we help them out with a down payment? That seems like it would be more helpful to them than just getting money from us in 20 years when we die.
Well, Rachel, that's a great question. I think, you know, first, depending on how significant that down payment is in terms of what you're contributing and the effects on your own finances, I'd probably start there and kind of look at that from a financial planning perspective first. Also, I think you said that they're, you know, certainly not married at this point. So you might want that home to be in your daughter's name just in case there's a breakup there in the future, since you're giving them money. And, you know, if they're kind of owning it together and they break up, it could be a little bit more difficult to get that back. And I'd say probably lastly, just kind of think about that from, you know, do you want to give that as like an outright gift versus some type of like financial contract arrangement, like a loan that you can certainly forgive or, you know, have them pay you a little bit back each year, which, you know, can teach them money lessons and also just kind of help you get some money back potentially for your own retirement purposes if it's something that you might want to get back from a help you for your retirement income need purposes.
Yeah, it's, I guess there could be some things that go wrong there, right? I mean, there's probably other options if you want to help out and provide money while you're, you know, you're still active and can and watch your children enjoy it. There's probably other options there as well, right?
Yeah, there's, I mean, that's, you know, you're certainly seeing like with things becoming marital property of your child's assets, a lot of times people are using trust instead so that it kind of stays in the family's name to kind of protect against that. And, you know, so there's a lot of different ways to go about it. It really just, you know, what's a good fit for their situation. And, you know, a lot of people don't want to wait until they're gone. They want to see them be able to benefit some of their assets today so they can, I guess, witness it and help them today if they're maybe struggling a little bit, or if they just in the position where like, hey, we're not going to nearly spend much of this. So yeah, we're going to try to help out our family when we can.
All right. Good question, Rachel. Thank you for that. How about one from Harvey, who says, part of me really wants to retire, but I've gotten pretty used to having a paycheck for the last 40 years and can't imagine not having one, even though I have savings. How do people ever get comfortable with the idea of not having money coming into their checking account every month?
Well, I can tell Harvey that I, you know, in a long time that I've been doing this, I've really never had anybody say that, man, I wish I was back at work again. But with that said, I think a good percentage of everybody is always a little uneasy going from 30, 40 years of a paycheck to not one. So, you know, I think it starts with a plan, maybe getting some professional help to walk you through these life-changing events and how you're going to take the time to wrap your head around going from a paycheck to no paycheck and transition into this thing called retirement. And, you know, how are we going to replace that income in the future with, you know, Social Security or a pension or your portfolio? You know, how does that happen? And a good advisor should be able to, you know, walk you through all these different aspects of how do we ultimately replace your current income with the other sources that you have. One other thing that I also have found that a lot of people are doing, and I think it's really helpful, is that a lot more people are kind of gradually staging into retirement, maybe going from 5 days a week to 4 days a week or 3 days a week and kind of ratcheting down where they're still having some type of paycheck, might be less. It's great for them because they're still in the workforce, they're still, you know, making some good money, but they're also maybe getting some leisure time back in their life to do other things that are important to them. And I think that's a great way to kind of see that realization of that, hey, I can go from what I've been doing the last 40 years to this kind of new phase in my life.
Great question, Harvey. I'm sure, you know, a lot of people deal with this kind of same feeling and similar feeling. So having a plan in place and working with someone to give you that confidence you need to step away from that paycheck is important because you want to enjoy everything you've worked so hard for throughout your life. But we appreciate your question. If you have something for us that you want to send in and get Anthony's thoughts on, you can always do so by just logging on, cardinalwg.com. You can contact us there through the website. Or if you want to talk to Anthony directly, you can always call him at 609-362-5512. All right, we'll close it out. Anthony, enjoy the last few weeks of this summer, and we'll chat again soon.
Thanks so much, Ben.
Information is for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute tax, investment, or legal advice. Always consult with a qualified investment, legal, or tax professional before taking any action.